Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT. Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
Macabre misfortune.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 69 of Macabre Misfortunes. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Tracy.
Tracy, in the early days of the Grand Canyon river running, which is where people were first really chancing the rapids and all that stuff down there, there was a lot of disasters.
Oh.
Because there's a lot of very unsafe places and they didn't have maps and stuff back then where...
Probably could get lost.
They had maps, but they didn't have... where everything was mapped out, where so you could just be thinking, hey, this would be fate. Oh, there's a waterfall. Oh, here's some really strong rapids that we didn't know about. That type of stuff would happen. Boating and rafting down the Colorado River, facing the rapids, like I said, was a very dangerous situation. And in fact, in 1928, only 45 people had managed to fully go the entire length of the Grand Canyon by boat.
Dang, not very many.
No. All 45 were done using traditional or modified rowboats. That's going to come into play here.
I was going to say, that doesn't sound too safe.
Well, I mean, but that's the only one that worked, apparently.
Oh.
So anybody else who had failed, either they were still in a rowboat too, or they were in some other type of boat, but all of them that were successful were in rowboats. That brings us to today's story. In 1928, newlyweds Glenn and Bessie Hyde were looking to make history. They actually wanted to spend their honeymoon making this trek in a different kind of boat. This was a flat boat known as a, I think it's called a scow, S-C-O-W.
Take your word for it.
Well, it could be scow. Oh. I'm just saying, but I think it's called a scow. I didn't look up the pronunciation. What would eventually ensue in the fall and winter of 1928 would become one of the biggest unsolved mysteries in the Grand Canyon up to this day.
Well, I'm excited about this one.
The honeymoon couple, as they would be known, mysteriously disappeared. No bodies were ever found, and nobody is exactly sure what happened. With that being said, there are some theories. And maybe some possible conspiracy theories on top of that. Here's what we do know. The year prior to their wedding, there were two filming expeditions launched in the Grand Canyon. One of these two required a search and rescue party. So you already know there was two different segments launched out of there, and one of them needed a search and rescue party. That's not good odds.
No, not at all.
50% needed rescue parties. This made national news. And that's why the couple decided they wanted to do this. Glenn actually had a lot of boating experience. He was a boat builder, a ship builder, and had spent a lot of time rowing and just traveling down all these different rivers. So he actually had a lot of experience doing this. He actually even built the boat that they were going to be on. Now, Bessie was very adventurous. She'd never really been out on the rivers, but she thought this was something that she would enjoy doing. So Glenn talked her into taking the trip and making history. Because see, Bessie would actually be the first woman to accomplish this.
Oh, there you go.
And he thought that would be kind of cool to have, you know, in her little belt.
Right.
Now, it took Glenn 2 days and $50 to build his boat.
$50?
Well, I mean, this was 1928. And he did do all the work himself, so he just needed materials.
Oh.
But yeah, that does seem kind of cheap.
Yeah.
They loaded it with supplies and a journal for Bessie to kind of keep track of everything that was going on. And in late October, they left from the Green River in Utah. One thing that they did not bring were life jackets.
Well, duh.
In the Grand Canyon, they landed at a place called Bright Angel Creek. And there they actually met famed boatman and photographer Emery Cobb. He showed them around and kind of offered to give them some life jackets. But Glenn refused. I don't know what his problem was with life jackets, but
I don't know either.
He obviously didn't like them. Emery would later say that Bessie seemed ready to quit right after they got there. But Glenn persisted. So they kept going down the trail and then would leave again the next day. And then they actually got, Cobb was actually one of the last people to see them because they were photographers.
Mm-hmm.
And him and his brother, I should say, were photographers. And the Hydes asked them, would you take a picture of us? And that's actually the last known picture ever taken of them.
Daggone.
So that picture is out there for anybody to see, but Cobb actually took that. They were supposed to come back as they came back through and then pick the picture up. So they said, hey, take it. And of course, it had to be developed and everything back then.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, just take the picture and we'll pick it up on our way back. Well, they didn't make it back through there, which got Cobb thinking, you know what?
Yeah, this something's wrong here.
Something's up. Things don't always go as planned, and that's the case here. The couple was actually supposed to arrive in Needles, California on December 9th, but they didn't show up there. After this, Glenn's father knew something was up, so he gets on a train to Las Vegas, assuming that something had to have gone wrong. He helped start a search and rescue party, and they had several different river parties, including Native American trackers, and an aerial search. So they had people up and down that same stretch of the river where they were missing and people looking from the air, which is probably the best way to do. But
yeah.
In 1928, that wouldn't have been the easiest thing to do is have an aerial, you know, search crew, I don't think. On December 19th, military planes spotted a boat that looked a lot like the boat they were doing. And they said it was kind of hung up on the river at mile number 237. The boat looked to be in great shape. Glenn's dad grabbed the Cobb brothers, again, who were used to that area, and they decided they were going to go down to a place called Peach Spring. That's where the boat was supposedly hung up at. Now, this would not have been easy to just grab a boat and go from where the Cobbs were. So what they did do is the Cobb brothers planned to hike down to a different boat that they were going to salvage, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That was only like 12 miles from where they needed to go.
Okay.
So it was easier to just go down to where this boat was. And that boat was at the mouth of Diamond Creek. So the brothers hiked down there to do the repairs on this boat, and then they were going to sail it because they thought this would be the quicker way to go. Unfortunately, there was a lot more damage to that bolt than they thought there was going to be, and it took 3 days for them to fix it and actually get on the road. Like I said, that boat was at mile marker 225, so it wouldn't, but about 12, 13 miles away. On Christmas Eve, they launched the boat, and they were able to make their way down to where this honeymoon couple's boat was. When they got to mile 237, the flatboat was just sitting in, they said, a calm pool of water. No rapids or anything. It's like just a little section where it was just good there, but it was hung up. The brothers, who were also photographers, as I mentioned, they kind of filmed the scene to kind of show what was going on around there. So there's a lot of good pictures of their boat and where it was actually sitting at when they came down there. They get on the boat and they find everything intact. Food, clothes, even a gun. There was also a couple of books and a journal that Bessie had been keeping. But no sign of the Hydes whatsoever. The Cobb brothers took everything that they possibly could from the boat and they cut it loose. They reported to Glenn's dad that the couple had definitely not left intentionally.
Oh my gosh.
So, doesn't sound good. But, by New Year's Day, the news had pretty much conceded that the Hydes must be dead. And they kind of moved on to other stories. It was like the story across the country until they just said, look, it's been 12 days. There's no sign of them. Their boat's just out in the middle of the water. They're obviously not alive. And to this day, the bodies have never been found. So no reason to believe otherwise. But that does not mean that that's the end of the story. We're just getting started. And I'm going to tell you the rest of it right after a quick sponsor break.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
All right, Tracy, I told you there's definitely some theories out there. Famed river runner by the name of Norman Nevels, he believes that both drown at mile marker 232. He says they've got some violent rapids and it was not properly marked on maps back in 1928. So if you're looking at a map and you're thinking, okay, we can do this, we can do that, and we'll go there. But then you find out that, oh, there's a big bunch of rapids that weren't listed on the map. That would obviously throw you for a loop.
So you think it got thrown out of the boat?
That's what he thinks. And of course, we know they didn't have any life jackets.
Well, that's true.
So who knows what could have happened. As we learned from the stories on the Niagara Falls a couple of weeks ago, you know, when those people went underwater, the water just whisked them away and there was no coming back up. So that's what he thinks happened. He feels like both were probably thrown from the boat and with no life jackets, drowning was highly likely. But that doesn't mean that that is a fact. The story of Glenn and Bessie Hyde have become a legend in the Grand Canyon, and everybody knows that story if they're out rafting on that area. It would often be talked about around campfires. For whatever reason, people began to theorize that Bessie actually killed Glenn because he was abusive, or that she sabotaged the trip so that the two would somehow die together. Let's remember that the Cobb brothers said that they didn't feel like Bessie wanted to even be on that trip to that point. Now, there's a lot of people who say that Glenn was a super nice guy, and they point to that last picture of the two and say, You know, they're both smiling. There doesn't seem to be any kind of dissension between the two. So I don't know where the stories come from that Glenn was abusive, but there are other people who say, yeah, Glenn was kind of a rough guy that liked to dictate and he could be kind of abusive at times. Obviously, I don't know because there's two different sides to that story. Some people said Glenn was a super nice guy that would never be abusive, and other people said he was abusive, so who knows? But several years, this is a cool story. Several years after the disappearance, this is 1971. We're looking, what?
50 years?
Well, 42 years, something. There was a group that had taken a boat trip down this path several years before, and they decided they were all going to get together and do it again. Well, the Grand Canyon was much safer by now, and the boating experience was, expertise was a lot better, and the maps were a lot better. So it's a little more fun trip now, less, treacherous. A few days into the trip, the group ran across a woman that was traveling alone. She's out there on a raft. Knowing that this was not exactly the safest place for somebody to be traveling alone, they invited her to come along with them on their trip.
Okay.
And she gladly accepted. The woman identified herself as Georgie Clark. So they traveled together for a few weeks, and she was valuable. She knew her stuff, obviously, so she was a big help to the crew. Georgie knew the canyon very well, also.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, though, she was super nice, but there's something odd about Georgie. She claimed to have been living on her own for a few years now out there in the Grand Canyon. And she said she was just kind of camping every night, and she was living off whatever she fished and got in foraging in the woods.
That doesn't sound fun.
Well, I mean, it's on what you like, I guess. But this actually was not that unusual. There was large groups of people who did this. But Georgie seemed to be kind of an outsider to the rest of the Grand Canyon groups. Now, as you could possibly imagine, this boating group that she was on, like everyone else, they knew the legend of the Hydes.
Mm-hmm.
They would even try to scare each other by saying that, hey, wait a minute, I think I can hear the moans of the deceased honeymoon couple and all that stuff. It was all in good fun, nothing meant to be anything major. But one night, they're all sitting around the campfire, and Georgie made a shocking confession. She said that she was, in fact, Bessie Hyde, and that she had killed her husband so she could start a new life.
Wow.
She had lived in solitude now for the past few years, but was ready to get back to society.
Well, I think she's going to get back to jail. Not really society.
But the group, as you can imagine, was shocked. They felt like this woman could obviously just be lying.
You're sure.
They pretty much just ignored the statement, and they just kept right on their trip because they still had a couple more weeks before they would finish up.
Mm-hmm.
And after the trip was done, the groups got back to their normal little towns and stuff that are all around, different cities, different towns, and they got back to their normal lives. Georgie would also decide to settle down. She settled down in one of these little small towns, and she stayed there until she passed away several years later. The town knew her as kind of a strange woman, but a good woman who was friends to pretty much everybody she met. She never again claimed that she was Betsy Hyde, and she lived out the rest of her life as Georgie Clark. But after her death in 1992, the police kind of went into her house, and they wanted to examine her belongings and see if there was anything in there that, could benefit them, or just kind of see what was going on, because she just kind of left everything behind. When she died, she didn't have any, family member.
Right.
Well, wouldn't you know, in her belongings, they found a birth certificate that identified her as Bessie DeRossi.
Hmm.
And a marriage certificate for Glenn and Bessie Hyde.
I was going to say, did those people not ever tell the police or anything? I mean,
I think they probably just assumed she was lying. So, let me end with a twist. that story may be just a rumor, that particular part, because while it's a fact, there were people who claimed to be Bessie Hyde later in years.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some stories that say that that case is completely unsolved, and we don't know what happened to either one of them. And I've seen others that point to that Georgie Clark story. But I've also seen some stuff that said that that Georgie Clark story was not verified. So I don't know that that's true or not, but that's the story that's out there, that Georgie Clark.
But why would she say that to the other people, that she killed him?
Maybe she just wanted attention. Maybe she really was kind of a woman that had been living on her own out there in the jungle for a while. That probably takes a unique person mentally.
Mm-hmm.
And she might have had some issues already and knew the story because everybody talked about it out there. And maybe she just decided, hey, this would be cool to assume that identity. You know?
That's crazy.
Who knows? Maybe the birth certificate and stuff she made. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you have your birth certificate and your... why would you have your birth certificate and your marriage certificate on a boat with you? Or maybe she didn't. Maybe that stuff was stored somewhere else and she got it after.
Yeah, I was going to say, why would she, if she knew what she was going to do that, why would she leave her belongings in the boat?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, and then the other thing is, they also found a gun in her apartment, but that don't mean anything. There was a gun left on board the boat.
Yeah.
So, and you know... You got to figure there's probably been an easier way to just start a new life than just killing your husband on a boating trip and then going out and living off in the wild.
I would think so. She didn't have very high expectations, did she?
Right. So, I don't know. I mean, there was divorce and stuff, even though that didn't happen as much back then.
Mm-hmm. Or she could just knock him over and say he fell out of the boat and drowned.
That's the easiest way to do it.
Yeah.
He just falls out of the boat and you're like, I don't know. Wouldn't there? Don't know, but it's a curious story that really they don't have full answers for even today.
Yes, I never will.
But you start thinking about that. That was 1928. She died in 92. So that's 60. I mean, she would have been, I think she was like 21 or 22 when this happened. She would have been in her late 80s, mid to late 80s,
mm-hmm.
I guess, when she died.
I just can't imagine having to live with that all your life, knowing that you did that. I just can't imagine it.
Well, like, she told them on the boat that she had been living there on her own for a couple of years, but this was...
Many years.
This was like,
40 years.
This was 40 years after that happened. So, I mean, was she living out there for 40 years, or who knows?
I've been sick of fish, I'll tell you that.
Well, I'm sure they had some other wild animals out there she could have had.
Ugh.
Just, you know, Grand Canyon. There's all kinds of animals.
Yeah.
So.
Or people.
Yeah. Or, yeah, there's all those missing 411 stuff.
Yeah.
Bessie Hyde ate them all.
Yeah, she had them for dinner.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. We appreciate it and hope you enjoyed that story.